Hello, folks. My name is Daniel Moth.
And I'm Steve Carroll.
And our emails are firstname.lastname@microsoft.com. Steve and I manage the C++ team here at Microsoft. Steve is the engineering manager, and I'm the program manager. So if you have any feedback on the direction that we're going for C++ from Microsoft overall, those are the emails to use, so please take advantage of that. What we're going to do over the next 30 minutes is share with you, who we assume to be a C++ developer, the top 7 things to be excited about with Visual Studio 2017. Now, we're going to do that mostly with demos, but we do have some slides at the beginning because we have some things that we just didn't have time to fit in the very short time slot that they gave us here. So let's get started with the first thing to be excited about, and that is our compiler. So in our compiler, we actually have a lot of dimensions in which we invest and a lot of improvements. But the one we wanted to highlight today, and which is our top priority, is the conformance with the C++ standard. Now, we're not going to go into detail on all these things that you can see up here on the slide, but just by the color coding, you can see how we've invested in the previous release to catch up and in this release today, and you can see how we're planning to catch up even more and be completely caught up with the updates to Visual Studio 2017. And once we catch up, we're going to stay caught up with the standards conformance. In fact, if you look at the C++ 11 and C++ 14 rows there of compiler and library features that the committee has introduced with those standards, you'll see that we're complete. So with the release you're getting today, we have completed all those. And in fact, we have completed features from the libraries and library and compiler features from the C++ 17 standard before it was even completed. So a lot of good stuff here. Now, of course, you can get our compiler as it is standalone, or you can get it. The best way to get it, we think, is through installing Visual Studio. So that is the second thing to be excited about, which is the completely rewritten installer for Visual Studio 2017, which introduces this concept of workloads. So you go and pick one of these tiles. These tiles represent workloads. And you can pick one or more to have a customized experience for exactly what you want to use into the product. So in this screenshot, for example, I've selected the desktop development with C++ workload. And you can see on the right under the summary further checkbox options where you can go and configure that installation further. So why should you be excited about this? Well, 3 reasons. First, we can actually get just the things you want, so it'll be very fast. It'll be a faster installation than what you were used to perhaps before. Second, your hard disk will thank you, as you're going to actually get fewer bits on that disk than what you would, again, before. And third, there'll be less visual noise in Visual Studio itself, because it's going to be missing the things that you didn't select to install. So for example, if all you want to do is build an MFC application or a C++ library, you can go and check the desktop development with C++, and you'll have that installed in less than 12 minutes, which was never possible before. And you won't see any of the ASP.NET or C# or any other things if you don't want to be using those while you're using the product every day. So that's our new installation experience. Of course, once you go and get the product, the next thing you're going to do is most of you probably have existing Visual Studio projects. So the third thing to be excited about is that we've done a lot of investments to make sure this is going to be a pain-free upgrade for you. So let me talk you through a few of those. The first one is that you can actually go and get through one checkbox in the acquisition experience we described earlier, the Visual Studio 2015 compiler and libraries toolset, and you can use that on select projects as you choose while still benefiting from the Visual Studio 2017 IDE. And you can get those bits without having to get the rest of the Visual Studio 2015 IDE. You just get the toolset straight into Visual Studio 2017. The good thing about that is you won't have to deal with any new errors and warnings since you're using the same compiler bits, which may be there due to the increased conformance that we have with the standard right now. But many of you we know actually want the latest compiler, and you want to get those error and warnings that help you clean up your code base and make your own code be more conformant with the standard. So for you, we have something that we've never had before, which is binary compatibility between the runtimes from Visual Studio 2015 and 2017. This is huge. What it means is you can actually move with your own code to the latest compiler, and any third-party binary dependencies that you have, which for whatever reason cannot move forward, you can still use them if they were compiled with Visual Studio 2015. You can mix and match binaries from the two compilers, something we've never done before. And then another reason this is a pain-free upgrade is you also depend on many third-party open source libraries. And last year, we introduced VC Package, this open source library Manager, which is growing in the number of libraries it has in it. So how is this going to help you? Well, if you're going to move from Visual Studio 2015 to 2017, VC Package will automatically update those dependencies and have them compile with the latest compiler bits, assuming it knows about those libraries. And it will work because VC Package is one of our test vectors that we use frequently as we validate our compiler moving forward. There's other reasons as well, like increased documentation that we've invested heavily in for a migration guide from one version to the other. So that's the pain-free upgrade. Now, some of you, and I know it's only a few, but some of you are not using Visual Studio today. So you have C++ code bases on Windows, but you're not using Visual Studio. You're using some other system. So for you, we actually have for the first time ever what we call the open folder feature in Visual Studio. So instead of having to go and create a Visual Studio project, really an MS Build-based project, and have to add the files there and mess with the different build systems rather than the one you wanted to use, you can now just take Visual Studio and browse with the open folder feature to your source, your folder of C++ source code, and you'll be able to immediately just open that up in Visual Studio, get IntelliSense, build in, debugging, and by optionally giving us hints in a JSON file, and everything just works for you. Now, specifically for those of you using CMake, we have specialized and we've customized that experience. So when you browse with Open Folder to a folder of C++ code that has a CMake text list file in it, we will detect that and we will give you a very customized, tailored, out-of-the-box experience where you don't have to do anything else and it all just works for you. Now, instead of talking about that, we wanted to show you that because we know you didn't believe us. So Steve is going to go and demonstrate that. And he's also going to demonstrate after he does that the next reason to be excited about, which is the bunch of productivity features that we have. So Steve, over to you.
All right, great. All right, so I'm going to pop over here to Visual Studio 2017. Now, as Daniel mentioned, the name of this feature is Open Folder. That's because you can go File, Open Folder, and point it at the root folder on your directory that contains the code that you're interested in. I've already prepped that up front. What I have open here, if you come over to the Solution Explorer, you can see it's opened in folder view. And that's because I did this open folder experience, and I've got this open source project named Bullet Physics open here. Now, the things I want you to take away from this as I sort of scroll down is, first of all, this is a representation of the folders on disk. And also, you can see there are multiple cmakelist.txt files. That's going to come back later. These are all the many examples that are available inside of this thing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to scroll down here to the main root cmakelist.txt file, which I'm going to open up here. So the first thing I want you to notice in the editor is the code colorization. We have a lot of different colors in here. That's because this is not being opening a text file as if it were a text file. We're detecting that it is a CMake file and using a TextMate bundle to give ourselves, you know, the syntactic coloring, as well as if I go in here and I type set, you can see I get some auto completion as well. Even the outlining will work if I click here. So we're really trying to make this feel like a native Visual Studio experience. Now, of course, CMake has been something that people have been using with Visual Studio for some time now. And so what's different now is rather than in the old days where you would go and you would sort of generate a project or solution from the command line using the CMake command line utility, what we do instead is actually we have not modified these cmakelist.txt files at all. And any settings that you would have done on the command line before are actually done if you right-click on cmakelist.txt. You can see I have this change cmake settings setting. And what that's going to do is, if you've never done it before, it will create a new file called cmakesettings.json. It'll have a sort of blank template in there that you can fill in. It will helpfully have a link to the blog post that describes all the documentation about what you want to put in here from that old command line configuration information. But you can see, again, we have colorization. And as I hover over here, it's a little bit self-documenting. We've got a schema registered here. And actually, this one, just to give you an idea of just how easy it is to configure these CMake files, if I go in here and I type colon, it will actually prompt me for possible choices here. And you can see I can choose Visual Studio 15 2017 here if I want to, or even make it so that it'll work with the old tool set. So let me back that back out. All right, great. So that's CMake. We think it's going to have a much better performance characteristic because you're not going to be having all those every time before when you were going on the command line, you'd have to keep the projects and your cmakelist.txt files in sync. You have to remember which ones to check in. And also, that would generate a lot of reloading of your project system. And so this will be much better. So how confident am I that this will be like a native experience? Well, I'm so confident that I'm going to transition to showing you all of our new productivity features. So this is the next thing that you should get excited about with Visual Studio 2017 is our new productivity features, and I'm going to show them all to you using these CMake targets. So first of all, just one more thing about CMake that I forgot is, as I mentioned earlier, there are multiple targets available. And those are right here. So you can select which one that you're interested in. And that's how you can choose between multiple CMake list.txt file, even a very complex system. Great. OK, back to productivity. So I'm going to jump over to a source file. I think one of the things that is most impactful in terms of a developer's basic productivity is the ability to navigate around a source space. Let's face it, you write some code, but you spend a lot of time deciding what code to write. And a lot of that is just navigating through the code, seeing how it works, and looking at what it does. So we have, in Visual Studio 2017, completely redone the find all references experience. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to select it on MGUI helper. And I'm going to tell you there are a lot of instances of MGUI helper inside of this code base. It's actually a pretty large code base. Okay, so the first thing I want to draw your attention to are the results as they are streaming into the find all references window. And you can see this is going up. This is important. We did a lot of performance work on this. We wanted to make sure, first of all, that you were getting useful results quickly that you could then go through. The next thing I want to show you in find all references is this grouping dialog. As you can see, we have a lot of different choices here. I've selected definition and then path. I think this one works really well with CMake projects. Because basically what we have here is I'm going to click on this. This is the definition. So it's going to, in the preview tab, take me directly to the source code for where that particular definition is. And then it's grouped after that by path. And so I can see the path on disk to where this are. And in the basic demo folder, I have four different reads of MGUI helper, which takes me to my next thing, which is this column, the read column. This is new. So what we can see here is these ones are reads because we're using MGUI helper to activate some of these methods. But if I scroll down a bit, I'll find one that's labeled other. These are, as you can see, it's like an initialization and a declaration. But also, if you come up here, every single one of these columns, if I size them correctly, will have a filter control that will allow you to say, you know, show me only the writes or show me only the reads. So all of this is about managing that complexity of, I've got, you know, how many of them here? 176 different instances of this and trying to find the ones that I want. Again, over here, in terms of filtering, we have the ability to say, show me only all of them, which I'm doing right now, only the ones in open documents, or if you've got a project, which ones are in that particular project. And the final thing I want to show you about managing your complexity in here so that you find exactly the one you want is this field here, which is the find all references. So if I go in here and I type camera, you can see it immediately sort of filters that list down to only the MGUI helper instances where it is mentions the camera also on that line. So right there, I found all the places where I have MGUI helper actually activating on the camera. So that's really great. So that's find all references. That's the first navigation thing I want to show you. The next one is another experience that's been massively refreshed inside Visual Studio 2017, and that is called the go-to feature. So you can't see my fingers, but I promise I'm going to do the vast majority of this with the keyboard just to show how friendly it is to keyboard developers, which I think is correlated with our C++ friends, right? All right, so control comma, and this brings me to the go-to window. This is new in 2017. I'm going to hit question mark just to show you this first. This is what it looks like. So we have an inbuilt keyboard shortcut help here to show you all of the different prefixes you can apply. And I'm going to go through these one at a time, walking my way down the UI here as if we were using the mouse. The first one I want to show you is colon. Colon is go-to line. Indeed, if you hit Control G, the old standby, in 2017, it will actually bring you to this dialog. So if I type 155, please open a text file first. There we go. And I can jump straight to that line inside of the thing. So I'm going to go in that. So that's a very basic one. The next one I want to show you after colon is F for file. So now here, if I type T-U-T-O-R, you can see it quickly gives me all of the names of the files that have tuto in this particular case as the prefix of the file, or actually found anywhere inside of it. So this is another way to very quickly, without taking your hands off of the keyboard, unless you're gesturing at the screen, for instance, to get that. The next thing I want to show you, we're going to transition now to things that you can go to that are more like language constructs. The first one is T. T stands for types. Now, in this particular code base, all of their sort of built-in types are prefixed with BT. So I'm going to jump to the vector implementation really quickly. Okay, so this is BT vector. The first thing that you notice that happened there is I jumped to it in the preview tab simply by selecting the first one. I want to draw your attention down here to the details view that I've turned on. It's actually going to tell you the kind of that particular type. So types can be classes, structs, or enums. This one, as you can see, is a class declaration. If I click over to here, you can see it's a struct. And so very quickly get all that information. So that's navigating around inside of your types. The next one I want to show you is members. Members are data members, methods, as well as fields and enum items. And so like if I type camera here, you can see I get a bunch of methods here. Also, there will be some enum items in here as well. Okay, so that's it. So there's only one more that I need to show you, which is the pound, which is for symbols. This is go to symbols. Think of symbols as the union of types and members, plus any other language features that you know sort of don't fit under those. The main one that gets added is actually macros. So again, if you do camera, you'll just get more results. Great. So inside of GoToAll, again, there's going to be this ongoing theme of filters to things that you can do. This allows you to filter to only the current document, and this allows you to sort of exclude external dependencies. Like in practice, this is for like if you don't want to see the SDKs or whatnot in there. And finally, a little bit of helpful UI selection. You can decide where you want to put it on the screen. Okay, so that's it for navigation. Now I want to do a little bit of code authoring. So I'm going to switch to this file now. Okay, so if I scroll down here a bit where it says predict my IntelliSense, this feels like a good place to show you predictive IntelliSense. So I'm going to do int I is equal to min. Okay, so what I want to draw your eye's attention to here is that there are only six results. Now, I assure you, there are far more than six things inside this code base that have min somewhere in them. But I gave the IntelliSense a little bit of hint, which is that I told it I wanted the integer ones by saying that this is an integer value that I'm assigning to. And so that gets us down to only like, you know, they all actually fit on the screen. So just to give you an idea of how many things we filtered out, if I do Control J or click this little icon right here, it will bring you the full list and you can see the scroll bar of how many we did. Okay, another thing that's new here as you're navigating around in this auto-completion experience is these filters down here. I told you, we keep going back to those filters. So again, here's types, here's functions, etc. So again, keyboard shortcuts, very quick, navigating around. This is gonna save you, you know, orders of magnitude of keystrokes. It's gonna be fantastic. All right, so that's predictive IntelliSense. So that's great. So that's what I wanted to show for authoring. So now I'm gonna transition to my next favorite thing that is a productivity saver for any developer, which is the Visual Studio Debugger. I wanna show you all the cool new, well not all, I'm gonna show you my favorite of the new debugger features inside of Visual Studio 2017 that are applicable for C++ developers. Okay, so this first one is really fun. It's run to click. Did I get that right that time? Yes, I did. We've had run to cursor in the product for a long time, and for those of you who've never seen it before, it's here on the right click menu. But we knew that people didn't use it all that much, so we added run to click in this one, which is this little green guy that shows up every time I hover over a line for long enough. So I'm gonna click on that, and what it's gonna do is it's gonna jump the cursor right there. I can click back up above, and so that's all great. Okay, so while we were doing this, I actually had another demo set up that was running that maybe you didn't notice, which is over here in the diagnostic tools window. I was running with the CPU profiling setting set to on. And so while I was debugging, even though I had that fine-grained control that the debugger brings, I was collecting profiling data that entire time, which allows me now to go through here and look just for between that step, between the beginning of init physics and this exit physics, I was collecting sampling data, and now I can see what the hottest functions as far as CPU usage were. So I'm gonna click on here, and it's gonna take me to a view of the profiling data for that function, which was taking 83.33% of my time. Now this is a butterfly view, if you've used the Visual Studio Profiler, and I hope you have, because it was my first product here at Microsoft, you can see that we didn't have any samples actually taken in this function body. Actually, we called through it, and CPU was being done beneath it. And the path that it happened was these functions, which if I hover over them, you can see their names. This is solve constraints. And these one, the CPU time was split across those functions. So that's great. You can use this butterfly view to navigate around and have a great time. But I want to show you one other view of profiling, because I love profiling. This is the call tree view, which I've selected. Now this allows you to do a top-down performance investigation and say, given main, what functions that were called from main were the most hot functions from a performance perspective. And again, I can see the call tree. I'll make this bigger so you can actually see the names of the functions. And you can jump to the source code and see which functions were there. So we really think this is going to help democratize CPU profiling so that more people on your team than just that one performance expert can go ahead and do these kinds of investigations. Okay, I've got just, well, 1.5 more debugging features I want to show you really quickly. So I'm going to draw your attention down here to this next set of things, which is that I am going to only partially initialize this struct, and then I'm going to dereference a bunch of pointers. All right, what's going to happen? Well, is it going to be a big modal exception assistant? No, it's not going to be a big modal exception assistant. It's going to be a beautifully new designed modeless exception assistant with a lot better functionality in it. So as you can see, I did indeed, as I warned you, had a read access violation. But unlike in the previous thing, now I can even tell you exactly which thing in this cascade of pointer derefs was the thing that was the actual null pointer that I violated. Here I can see it was a.pb. You don't have to go clicking around inside the object. Obviously, this one was simple, but we've all seen those ones where it's a monster. Okay, one last thing, the half, so to speak. Every developer in the world has had to work with a third-party library that where the developer, who was a total jerk, was using exceptions as control flow and therefore making it impossible to do their own break on exception style of debugging. Yeah, I know these people, right? So now, for the first time in Visual Studio 2017, with the edit conditions thing on the exception assistant, you can go in there and say, do not break on exception if the exception originated from that jerk's DLL. So that's great. All right, so that's what I wanted to show you for productivity. Daniel, back to you.
That's cool.
Oh, back to you as soon as I get the backup there. One of these. There we go.
Thanks, Steve. So Steve there showed you the CMake experience through OpenFolder, and he also then showed you all the productivity features, some of them, which is really the main reason that many of you want to come to Visual Studio with your CMake code bases. So we kind of thought that would transition well there, but obviously all the productivity features apply for any project type of C++ in Visual Studio. Now, on the slide, you can see a bunch of things that maybe we didn't have time to show you today. So if you're interested in any in those, please do go to our blog, and you'll be able to learn more about them. Now, when we think about productivity, another thing that is part of productivity is performance of the IDE itself, because that helps you actually be more productive because it's faster for you. So we have done a lot of investments in the performance space as well. So hopefully you're all configuring pre-compiled headers, which will help both the compiler and the language service in the IDE help you with the performance of everything. But if you're not, for whatever reason, we have a new auto-precompiled headers IntelliSense feature. So this will only help you in the IDE, and some of you will benefit and feel the performance there. Another improvement is with the memory usage, where we've actually significantly decreased that. So in some cases, it was really pathological, and we've addressed that. And talking about those some cases, which are really large solutions, we've also dramatically improved solution load with multiple projects. So Chromium is what the example we have there in the table. So if you look at those numbers, that's a 1,700 project solution. You can see how big the improvements are that we've done in terms of loading that. Now, another place where you spend time is when you go in Visual Studio and you make a little edit here and there, and then you want to quickly test and debug it. But unfortunately, between the editing and the debugging, there is the in-between space of building, and that can take time that you don't want it to take. And for many of you, that time is spent in the linker. So if you go in Visual Studio 2015 Update 3, you can go and specify the linker option Fast Link. And we've seen with that option 2 to 4 times faster for the linking phase, so you can definitely benefit from that. What we've done in Visual Studio 2017 is two things. We've taken that option and turned it on by default, so you don't need to know about it or try and find it. And also, we've improved it further by another 30%. So with all these improvements, performance improvements, you'll actually feel that performance difference when you move from Visual Studio 2015 to 2017. And then the last thing to be excited about, and we're going to have a demo here, is about the targets, what you can target. So hopefully you know by now that with Visual Studio, it's not just about targeting Windows with your C++ code. If you use the mobile development with C++ workload, you'll be able to target Android and iOS. If you choose the game development with C++ through the various game engines, you'll be able to target even more platforms. And the one that we want to highlight today is the latest, addition to the cross-platform party, which is our Linux development with C++ workload. So Steve is going to demo that for you now.
Okay, so I don't know if anybody noticed this earlier while we had the screen up there, but I've got the Bash Ubuntu shell running in Windows 10. So I'm running Windows 10. I don't have time to go into a deep dive on what the Windows subsystem for Linux is, but effectively, the key takeaway is it's not a VM, it's a full subsystem running natively of Ubuntu. So I did a bunch of prep work to start off. You can see here I started up the SSH service on here, so it's listening on the port. And I've also installed all of the GCC suite of tools inside the Ubuntu subsystem, inside Windows subsystem for Linux. Okay, great. So I'm going to go back over here. I'm going to close my folder. I'm going to open up my Linux console application. Okay, so what makes this a Linux project? I'm going to go in here. I'm going to click on Project Properties. And I'm going to draw your attention over here. So the first thing is, of course, our platform toolset, instead of seeing, you know, the MSVC compiler, we see that we're going to target a remote GCC. So the thing I want to stress is I'm going to show this to you in Windows 10 on the Windows subsystem for Linux, but this feature will work just as well if you are running Linux inside of a VM, or you're targeting some remote machine that's in a cloud or whatever. All that you need to do is configure it with the configuration manager as the remote build machine. So I'll show you that next. If we go up here and we type connection manager, and I go to the cross-platform connection manager, you can see I have it set up for localhost because I know that I have SSH in the subsystem running there. But you can go in here and you can add whichever Linux box you'd like. Now, I've got this all set up. Just to make a few quick points, IntelliSense works as you would expect here. Build works here. Debugging works here. You can see I've got quick info in here. This is some C code. It's a very simple console application. So you know, anything you would expect to work works. I'm going to make a one-character change to trigger a build. Oops, going to trigger a build once I remember my sheet code shortcuts. Copying sources remotely. So remotely is sudo remotely here. It's copying over there. You can see it's building main.cpp. And linking a copy of that here in the Linux console. You actually won't see that because it's happening sort of in the background. So the next thing I want to show you is the debugger. So I'm going to start that up. It's going to attach to GDB running inside that that service. You can see I've got all of the ability to inspect variables that you would expect. But there's one more thing I want to show you, which is this is a simple console application, but here you can see the Linux console window. So as I mentioned, most of this is running in the background services, but the Linux console window lets you peer into what's going on there. And I can see, you can see it's asking me what IDE are you using. I'll say Visual Studio, I'll even spell it right, 2017. And it will say, you know, Visual Studio 2017, great. You can use that with me? And so yes, actually you can.
Cool.
Back to you, Daniel.
All right, let's switch back to the slides. So that was the seventh thing to be excited about. We have a bonus quick item, which is to really thank you because you helped us build
Absolutely.
It. Up here on the slide, we have the user voice items that you have suggested and voted over time. And these are, all of these have been actually completed with this release, including a whole bunch of bugs. So if there's something that is bugging you in a previous version of Visual Studio, by all means, use the latest and it will stop bugging you anymore because we fixed it. So with that, that's the summary. And that is the blog that you need to go to if you want to learn more about these and a whole bunch of other things. I know we're near out of time. Do we have any questions?
No questions, because you gave such good pointers.
Love it.
Yes.
That was the worst C++ joke I could have ever come up with. But yes, thank you. No questions. I love the productivity. I love that you're able to compile directly onto. I love that you're able to compile directly. I am not on mute. They're telling me I'm on mute. But I am not on mute.
Oh, did they miss your joke? You want to repeat that?
I might have to tell my joke again.
Recreate the joke?
Yeah, so should I repeat it? So I'm here. I'm not on mute. So how's sound? Sound good? Okay, so the joke was, you think it'll be funny? Pretend you didn't hear it this time, okay?
Okay, we'll react.
This time we'll laugh louder.
Those are really good pointers.
The first time I felt you did
that. I get better delivery this time. Okay, yeah. Those are awesome pointers. I love the fact that you can actually run C++ or C on a Linux box.
Exactly.
I mean, I wish I would have had that in college.
And the Linux box is a Windows box.
Especially with the Windows subsystem for Linux. Yeah. It's amazing. I wish I would have had that before. It would have solved a lot of my assignment issues that I had when I did C++ because I had many a memory leak. So that's why I use managed languages now, because I don't clean up after
You're
myself.
You're probably alone in that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you so much. We had a packed day today. We had 12 sessions. We also had a wonderful keynote. Make sure to go now and download Visual Studio at visualstudio.com. Come back also tomorrow morning for another full day of training. There's going to be two tracks, one for web and one for mobile. And if you go to launch.visualstudio.com, you'll be able to watch those tomorrow. And again, please, please, please go and download Visual Studio 2017. There's a community edition you can have for free. We'll see you tomorrow.